Brother Mark, the background of the songs are very interesting, and I couldn't help but think, you know, none of these songs were written just yesterday. They've been passed down from generation to generation, and so is our faith. You know, we've come together today to worship the Lord, and in a way, we've already had a sermon in the lyrics of all the psalms that we've sang. And Christmas songs just have a way of making us feel better. The Christmas season does. When I was in Ohio, it cheered my heart to hear people saying Merry Christmas. There was snow on the ground, and you know, everybody was working in things. But still, when Christmas season comes, people become more happy and more joyful for the most part. And today, our message is, of course, about is the third candle that we lit, the candle of joy, and about the joy that comes with the season of Christmas. And I pray that you have joy in your hearts today. So I want to focus on joy and the reasons why we should have joy in our hearts and in our lives. And we can find so many places to go, and this could turn into a marathon message, but I promise it's not. So I just have chosen a few excerpts from the Bible that I feel like we can hang our hat on, because we all know these. You see, joy comes truly when we start focusing on God's Word and His promises. And I've mentioned His promises now for several Sundays in a row, because His promises never fail. And when we begin to focus on His promises, it strengthens our faith, and so we have hope in the promises of God. We have hope in the Word that we find. And when we have faith and we have hope, you see, we're looking up to God. We're not looking at ourselves. And when we do that, we recognize that He cares for us. And He gives us a certain peace in our hearts. They're all connected. Our relationship with the Lord comes from our faith in Him and the hope and trust that we put in Him as our Lord and Savior. And when we have that, we reach that point in our lives, we can find peace even in difficult circumstances. And when it all comes together, when it all finally comes together, folks, we can have joy in our hearts. So let's focus on that joy. And I feel like myself, and this is just an individual thing, when I think about having faith and hope and peace and comfort and contentment, I can just go to one simple phrase that we all know found in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Who do I have faith in? Well, it's in the Lord. And the Lord is higher than me, and He knows things I don't. So I put my faith in Him, and I hope and I trust Him, and I recognize that if it is God who created all things and who is my shepherd, what do I have to worry about? I find peace and I find comfort in that statement, knowing that it is God who leads me. If God is leading us, it's the next statement says, I shall not want. I find peace in that. I find faith and hope and trust in that. And it also gives me joy because it makes me recognize that if the Lord is your shepherd, He loves you. And He knows you. And you, as an individual, you are a part of creation's plan because God created you. And when we internalize it and we start thinking about all of what God has done for us, you know, we don't deserve it, but we should find joy in it. And it should give us the faith and the courage and the strength to look to His Word and to believe His Word, to find comfort in it, and to hold on and grasp on the promises that God has given to us. He's given promises to every one of His children, all of us here today. They weren't confined to the Old Testament or to when the New Testament was written. No, they carry forward today, just like the songs we sing. Faith goes from generation to generation, and the promises of God are eternal for His children. A couple weeks ago, right before we started Advent, I had a message on Zechariah and Elizabeth. You know, they were faithful people, but they wanted a child and it never happened, and they grew into old age without a child. But God sent the angel Gabriel, and He made a promise to them. And I'm bringing this out because, of course, they're part of the Christmas story, but again, because of the promise. You see, God promised, yes, you will have a son. And when the time was right, John the Baptist was born, even though they were well advanced in their age. They were 70-something years old when they had John the Baptist. And if you look back further, similarly, all we have to do is look at Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah doubted, but God promised, yes, when the time is right, you too will have a son. And they were older. They were in their late 80s. But we know the story, don't we? They did have a child named Isaac because God promised. And when God promises, it will come to pass. In both cases, God promised. And you know the end result of that. John the Baptist was born. Isaac was born. And don't you know, if you for just a moment could put yourself, especially you ladies, in the place of Elizabeth and Sarah, what great joy that would have been to finally have your prayers answered and to have a child. Any parent knows the joy of having a child. You see, there is joy that comes when we focus on God's promises and when we apply them to our lives. It should put joy in our hearts, because God, again, cares for you. There's another promise that I think about quite a lot. And it has to do with the Christmas story, and it starts right at the very beginning. In the very beginning, in Genesis, right after, unfortunately, like me and you, Adam and Eve had sinned. And we've all sinned. And God is present, and He confronts and He speaks to Satan. And this is an important promise. He says in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, we're going to move forward from this kind of quickly, but there's an important passage here. And hopefully you can see it in the text. Let's read it again. "I will put enmity between your seed and her seed." You see, there's two types of people. Notice the nuance here in the script. Your seed is lowercase. His seed is capitalized. It's talking about Jesus. And it applies to all of God's children that would come from Adam. We are God's children. There are two types of people. And folks, if the Lord is your shepherd, then you know who you are. You are one of His children. You see, He promised Jesus right from the very beginning of creation. And we are blessed through that promise. And the promise wasn't confined to just to Adam and Eve. No, it carries forward. The very next place where we can pick up this promise and how it relates to us joyfully, I pray, I hope I can convey that. Pray for me throughout this message that we can see the reasons to be joyful over. If you turn to Genesis 22, if you have your Bibles with you, I want to read the promises that were given to Abraham, because it carries forward to us, folks. You see, when we focus on God's promise, it gives us security. Let's read together Genesis 22, verses 11 through 18. And just as a preface for this, Abraham had taken Isaac and he was ready to sacrifice him because God had blessed him with a son, and now he's told him to offer a sacrifice. How hard that should have been. And that's a sermon series in itself. But I want to read starting from that point forward. And here he is ready to sacrifice Isaac. "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Then Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself,'" this is God speaking, "'by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son.'" And folks, you see the parallels from this, I know. Blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. You see the blessings there in the parallel to Jesus Christ. You see, through His descendants, Jesus would be born. And if you read that text, and I'm not going to go deeper into it, but I find great comfort in this text, because it says, your descendants shall be like the stars and the sands of the seashore. They can't be counted. Folks, you see, we have a family in heaven that one day we'll be part of, and it's innumerable. All because of God's grace. All because of the love that He had. All because He promised a Savior that would redeem us from our sins. This is the first place, these two passages, these two promises. We are promised Jesus Christ as we look here. Through His descendants, Jesus would be born. Now we'll skip forward up to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, which is part of the Christmas story, why we're here today. You see, God made another promise. And it should fill you with joy, because this, all three of these promises have already been fulfilled. But we're reading it and celebrating it today. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And of course, this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ when he would be born, as we sang in our songs today. Again, the Lord promised, and it came to pass. So as you think about your life, you may have in your own heart individual passages of the Bible that are promises that you apply. I hope that you do. Does it give you faith? Does it give you stability and comfort in difficult times? Do you have peace? And when you start focusing on that and that promise, thinking, yeah, God knows me, He knows my situation, are you joyful in spite of a difficult time? I pray that you are. I pray that we are filled with joy in this time of season, because it's all about God's promise, the Christmas promise of our Savior Jesus Christ. Again, God promised and it came to pass. Now turn with me to the one of the most famous known passages in the New Testament regarding the Christmas occurrence of Jesus being born, the Christmas story that we find in Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 18. You see, God promised. We found it in Genesis twice, and we found it in Isaiah, and now we're reading about it in Luke. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinus was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And folks, I just want to interject something. Stop for just a moment. You know, life gets busy and hectic in this Christmas season for some people. I pray that there's room in your heart for Jesus. There should be nothing more important than worshiping our Savior. I pray that your stable doors are open to our Lord. Now let's continue on. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." But you see, they wanted to go see the promises that the angel had just told them about. I don't know, you know, the shepherds didn't have all of the learned background that other members in the Jewish community did. They may not have been aware of the prophecies from Isaiah and from Zechariah and from all the other places we find about Jesus in the Bible, but they were astonished by the appearance of the angels, and they wanted to go see. You see, they had faith. They believed, and they ran. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all of those who heard it marveled at these things which were told to them by the shepherd. Now, folks, we know the story, don't we? Well, I'm just repeating all these promises that have come to pass. You see, we have this fulfillment. Jesus was born. He was born. Now, why was he born, folks? He was born for me and for you. And just like the shepherds and just like Adam and Eve, all of us sinners that didn't deserve it, but who are part of God's children, part of the family that can't be numbered, like the sands on the seashore. And we needed a Savior. So God sent His only Son. And you see, that He would be the sacrifice that we need, that we had to have. This prophecy that we just read is filled, I think it's repeated again when we read John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, I'm going to make the statement, if the Lord is your shepherd, you believe, and we are promised eternal life. We are God's children. And he had this promise that He would save us from our sins. He loved us, and He provided the sacrifice and the atonement for us. Jesus. That's what the Christmas miracle, the Christmas story is all about. You see, we would be doomed to eternal damnation too if it wasn't for Jesus. So we need to be joyful when we start thinking and understanding the promises that God made, how they apply to us, about where we would be without God's love. And when you think about God's love, some people just want to make it a big blanket that, you know, kind of covers everything, but it applies to you individually, to me. God loves us. And He tells us further in John chapter 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." You see, folks, we believe. And we have been born into a family. We have been born again. And we are in that number of innumerable children of God that will populate all of creation in heaven after this life. We are the sheep of His pasture. He knows you by name. And He sent His Savior for you because He loves you. And that knowledge, that understanding, seeing the recognition that everything He spoke, everything He prophesied has already come to pass, should give you joy. If it's not giving you joy, folks, you're not focused on the right things at this time of year. We need to be joyful. If you think about what life would be like without it, I think we could get joyful in a hurry. We don't focus on that. And that's not preached much in church. I'm not going to get into it today. But where would you be without God in your life? You know, right now there's been some terrible tragedies. There's a shooting up at Brown University. 3 people killed, 8 people injured. Over at Bondi Beach in Australia, I think there have been 12 people killed. The assembly at Bondi Beach in Australia that happened yesterday, it was some Jewish organization that had got together, but Bondi Beach is off of the Gold Coast, the eastern coast of Australia. It's warm. It's a beautiful area. People are out enjoying the beach, and somebody just started shooting. I don't know what was the emphasis for the shooting up at Brown University, but it's just an example. There is such, you know, life can be so wonderful. There are pleasures in this life, but it's just so temporary. Life is filled with sin and with hatred and everything evil. But God loved us and He saved us from these types of things, folks. Yes, we will live our lives here on this earth, but this is not the end for us. There's something so much more. And we need to be joyful about it. And you know, there are a lot of people, especially when holiday seasons come, that for some reason they get a little, they start despairing some. They get a little downcast. We need to be sharing. Why are we hopeful? Why are we optimistic? Why are we joyful? Well, it's because we know this is not our home. And you see, sometimes we fall short because we don't express our joy publicly. We don't share it with other people enough. I want to give you a little bit different perspective, a similar view of what I'm trying to say, but he says it so much better than I do. There's a graphic here of the angel appearing to the shepherds. And I want to read this one passage again. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You see, the news of Jesus Christ is for all His children everywhere throughout every time period since the world was created up through now until the very end. It's good news to all His children, no matter where they may be. And the evil in people's hearts wants to try to convince a certain groups of people that, no, you're excluded. You're not good enough. You haven't worked hard enough. You can't go to heaven because you didn't do such and such. Well, that's not what God's Word says. We are privileged to be counted in the family of God because of the faith in our hearts that allows us to express our faith publicly. You see, He saved us by grace. He gave us that faith. And when we can express it, We need to, because we believe. It identifies us as one of His children. Now listen to what Charles Spurgeon says about this passage, about the angels appearing to the shepherds. He says the following: "If the birth of Jesus was so gladsome to our cousins, the angels," and if you stop right there and think about it right now, Paul says that we are created and we will be much higher than the angels. The agents will be servants to us too. And in using this older English text, that way Spurgeon is speaking. But, and he calls them our cousins. "But if it was so gladsome to our cousins, the angels, what should it be to us? If it made our neighbors," begin the angels sing, "who had comparatively so small a share in it, how should it make us leap for joy? If it brought heaven down to earth, should not our songs go up to heaven? Shouldn't we be grateful and thankful?" You see, folks, happiness is contagious. If you're around a happy person, somebody else gets happy too. You can't explain it, but it just happens. And you get around a bunch of happy people, you start laughing and being silly over nothing. But joy is contagious. We need to be sharing our joy. "If the birth of Jesus is so gladsome to the angels," you know what that's truly saying in modern day terms? The angels were happy for men because we had a Savior. They're already in heaven. They didn't need the sacrifice and atonement of Jesus Christ. But we did. And they could look upon us and with great happiness and joy be happy for us. Now, can you be happy for somebody else? I pray that you can. We need to be happy for other people when good things happen. We need to be happy for all of God's children. And folks, that happiness should encourage us to speak out and to look to God and start thinking about, yeah, these promises applied to them and they applied to me. And how no matter how difficult this world may be, and tragedies, no matter how many tragedies occur, we are in the hands of our Creator and Savior. And we should be joyful because we know that He loves us and He protects us. So I guess let me ask the question. We find promise, we find joy in God's promises. Are you giving your gratitude and expressing your joy to God throughout the day, each and every day in your prayer life? And are you sharing that with others? Because now as we begin to focus and funnel down and come to a close, there's a couple other ways that we find joy from too. It's a little more practical. It's in your everyday life. It should be. And how you can make somebody else joyful here in this Christmas season this year. Number one, we can find joy in this life when we give what we can. And the first place we give it is give it to God. And the only way we can do that is like when we sang through tithes and offerings, when we give them our heart. But listen to these passages. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. When you get thankful, you get joyful. If we are thankful, we will be filled with joy, and we can praise God for it. It's 1 Corinthians, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, God is ever present on your mind to be able to fulfill this passage. But I'm going to tell you, and I've shared similar thoughts with you before, glorifying God is not limited to church. It extends to all aspects of our life. It is one of the ways that we give back to the Lord, and we should do it joyfully, by praising God publicly. Now, the Primitive Baptists just fall short doing that. I hope that in the generations to come, that won't be a shortcoming for us. But we find joy when we give our express and our gratitude to God, but also we find joy when we give to others. And in this Christmas season, we can share and give to others in so many ways. 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, and not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, there's not many things that can be said about man that is referenced with God approving and liking and loving it, but a cheerful giver is one of it. Let that sink into your mind. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, sometimes it's the only redeeming thing that we can think about ourselves. See, when you're a cheerful giver, you love another person. You give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. If you ever want to try to justify yourself, and this doesn't, but it can make you feel a little better about yourself, when you cheerfully give to help another person, you didn't do it out of necessity, like you said, or grudgingly, oh, well, here you go, and you wish you weren't doing it. When you help somebody out of the goodness of your heart, God looks on the heart, and God loves a cheerful giver. Remember that at Christmas time, folks. There's a lot of orphans out there that won't have much of a Christmas this year. We need to count our blessings and start thinking about how we could bring joy into somebody else's life. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Just like I said, we start thinking about the angels were happy for us. We should be happy for somebody else when we share the salvation story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be happy for those when we can be a blessing to them by sharing God's word. And whatever your gift may be, share it with other people. And in Acts 20:35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Words to live by. It's more blessed to give than receive. God knows what is the intent of our heart. He sees our actions. He sees what we do. And if you are a cheerful giver, folks, He's going to bless you in so many ways. And, you know, the next way we can do when we do this, the next way we experience joy in our life is through this obedience, by following these commands that we've just read. And this is a big one. This next one is a big one. How obedient are we to this one? Matthew 28:19. The words of Jesus Christ Himself said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." This command shows that the purpose of God's children is not just limited to our faith. It involves sharing the Word of God with other people and the salvation that comes only through Him with the whole world. It's a command. But it's a command that when we give, we will be blessed for and we will find joy. Now, how obedient are we to this command? We like to think, well, I've got faith and God has blessed me and I don't have to do anything outside the walls of this church. Well, that's not true. Because you have faith, you were born to be a blessing to other people. And we need to be sharing our faith so that we can be that blessing that God intends us to be. Ecclesiastes tells us about obedience. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is a whole duty of man. Throughout all these promises, God has fulfilled every one of them. He's going to fulfill the promises that are still waiting for His children, which is eternal hope for life with Him. That will be fulfilled too. But while we are here, we were created for a reason. God is our Heavenly Father. We have faith through Jesus Christ. He has promised to walk with us through every day of our life. You see, I think joy comes down to this. It is a recognition of what God has done for us in the fulfillment of the Christmas promises, which is Jesus Christ. When we focus on Jesus and how much He loved us, we should be joyful about it. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. As we summarize this Christmas story for just a moment, have you ever thought it this way? Jesus Christ, that little baby that the shepherds beheld in that manger, whom Mary held and loved, who was prophesied, who was born as God promised He would be, He was a baby born for sacrifice. You see, Isaac wouldn't have been anything important to the point that he could have atoned for any sin, but it was the expression of Abraham's love. But Jesus is the expression of God's love towards His people. He sent His own Son to be the propitiation for our sins because He loved us with an eternal love. Joy, I think, is found in knowing and trusting and rejoicing in this promise. And I didn't read all of Matthew just a moment ago. Now I'm going to, here in this next verse, we see it. Jesus said, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, Christ is with us always. Emmanuel, God is with us. It applies to me and to you too. It is another promise of God. God is with you right here, and God will be with you throughout the rest of this day. However long you draw breath, Emmanuel, God is with us. He is with us always, and nothing can separate us from that great love of God because He's promised it. God has promised everything because He loves you. That's the true miracle of the Christmas story. And what is the culmination of all that? I think it can be expressed through John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." We are God's children. Folks, that should give us great joy. In just a moment, we're going to sing "Joy to the World." And it's you know, it expresses things so eloquently about being joyful, about what God has done for us. Let these words sink into you, and I pray it will give you great joy in your heart. And if it does, go and do what Jesus has commanded us to do. Share your faith with somebody else this day through some way or some form. And tomorrow, and the next day, and however many days the Lord may give you. I pray the Lord will bless the preaching of this word. I pray that you will be joyful this Christmas season and you will express it and share it with other people. Brother Mark.